I don't think I had any email problems this last week, but on the off chance that you actually sent in an answer and I didn't get it, please resend it, and if you actually won this time, I'll be happy to send you a token of appreciation. What I wanted to talk about tonight really came to my mind based on some of the feedback that I've received from those of you who are sharing the challenges that you're having with sponsoring requirements for the President's Challenge as well as local and district area challenges. And I think some of the problem we're having is that when we think about prospecting and recruiting, we're tending for some reason to focus more on the process activities. We're really spending, I think, almost too much time just using the tools and not spending time talking with people. And I think that happens when we get engaged in doing activity for the sake of the activity, and also when we're more concerned about passing out information than we are about achieving the results that we want to achieve with our particular business goals. And sometimes I think the reason why we're getting this, I guess, confused is the best word, is we're not focusing on the objective. And the objective is to get an appointment to show the plan to someone. Because it's only in showing the plan to a person that we're going to get to the place where the person knows enough to make a decision about whether or not they want to be involved with us. So if one of our objectives is to get the appointment to show the plan, our primary objective, then the activity has to be based on having a conversation with that person to determine their interest and their willingness to be involved. Now, the interest area is going to pertain to whether or not they want to learn about new possibilities, whether they're looking for a change. But the willingness component means that they're open to reviewing what you have to offer, they're open to considering it and asking questions, and they're ready to work now towards that change. So when you think about how you can determine someone's interest and willingness, I think it's important to be clear on the fact that that's really a personal act on your part. Okay, tools can only supplement your personal involvement. But what happens sometimes, because we have so many quality tools, I think we're overusing them. Because it's really a personal issue when you want to have a conversation and listen to someone and learn what's going on in their life. Because what you learn through that conversation, I think, is what's going to put you in a position to help you better understand which tool is the best or most appropriate one for that individual. Now, when we started this call, I was talking about the new home shopping list, and I think that's a wonderful tool that you can use. But I don't think any of these tools are to be used in a vacuum, because if you think about it, if all you ever do is pass out tools to people without having conversations, consider the unanswered and practically the unasked questioning opportunities that you miss when you rely on the tool first instead of getting a clear awareness and understanding of the prospect or the customer in terms of their particular issues. And again, we have some really good tools, but if you're always passing out the wake-up CD, which I know some of you are, and it's a good tool, think about the fact that you're just giving that out to someone without having a conversation with them and understanding that where they are in their life right now, really all they're interested in is product use. Well, that tool doesn't speak very effectively to product use, but you wouldn't know that because you have a stack of those and you simply want to pass them out to people that you speak to. I don't think that's valuing your time wisely, and it's also not valuing the other person's time. Another tool that I think is very effective but unfortunately being overused, used slightly inappropriately, is the Success From Home magazine. I think it's a great magazine, but the magazines, again, as with all the other tools, are to supplement your conversations with people. So if I don't take the time to have a conversation with a person and determine that they're at least interested in making a change, why in the world am I going to give them a Success From Home magazine, which, by the way, costs you money, and just say, here, you might be interested in looking through this magazine? Well, why would I say they might be interested if they didn't share that interest with me, which they couldn't share because I didn't have a conversation with them about what I'm involved in and exactly how this magazine could benefit them? And remember, I mean, the company came out months and months ago with specific specific process for how to use the magazine. It's not just a random pass out. When you ask someone to use the magazine or to look through the magazine, consider that the unasked question really that the person has is, can they do this? What is going to be the similarity between them and any of the profiles in the magazine? You need to have a conversation so that you can choose a story that's appropriate for that person and you can use the DVD in an appropriate way. Because if you think about the numbers of magazines and different literature that you receive in the mail or that people hand out to you or that you pick up when you go to a trade show, most of that information we simply bring home and we never look at it again. Well, if you aren't clear with the person that you're talking to about exactly which parts of the magazine you want them to look at, I don't think that it's reasonable for you to think that they're going to look at it at all, because most people are just as busy as you are. And unless they have some clear direction and a specific reason for going through this magazine, they're not going to do it. It's similar to the profiles. I think the profiles is slightly more effective with a random approach, because if a person leaves through the Profiles of Success book, they may chance upon a person whose story is similar to theirs. But it's still not the most effective use of your time or the potential prospect or customer's time. Whenever you're going to use these tools, think about the person's issues first. Okay, even the three-part DVD, which is one of my favorite tools, probably next to Dr. Dutch's Help DVD, is that you have to respect the other person's time from the beginning. Because if you abuse a person's time in the beginning, they're going to believe, and probably correctly, that you're going to use an inordinate amount of their time down the road. And most people, even those who are looking for change and willing to work towards that now, they want to be clear that there's a specific process, there's certain requirements that they have to meet, this is when they have to meet them, this is what the expectations are. And if you just load a person up, and some of you actually give the same individual a wake-up CD, a Success from Home, a copy of the profiles, and a three-part DVD before you've even had a real conversation to determine their interest and willingness to look at what you have to offer. And I think it's important to understand how overwhelming that is to other people. It may be challenging to think about how overwhelming it is because it wasn't overwhelming to you. But for most of you on the phone, when you became involved with this business vehicle, we didn't have the same number of tools that we have available right now. And most likely, the person who bought you into this business, whether or not they're still involved with you, didn't rely too much on the various tools. Sometimes they didn't rely on the tools that they needed to, but generally, we didn't have the same challenges that we're having right now with people relying on the tools and then being disappointed that they aren't achieving the level of success that they wanted. And I was reading this book. It's been out for a little while. It's called Blink. It's by Malcolm Gladwell, and it's the same author who wrote the book a few years ago called The Tipping Point. And there's, in his book, he's really talking about the fact that people make choices, and we almost make those choices in a blink. We make them in an instant, and they really aren't as simple as they seem. We think that giving someone all of these tools is enough for them to just make a quick decision and make a simple choice, if you will, that they're going to be involved with this business. But the reality, and his book supports that, is that we're simply overwhelming people. And in the book, he has a page where he talks about someone who was conducting a study at a grocery store. She really wanted to see whether the number of choices people have made any difference in the number of items that they purchased in the store. And in this case, there were jam choices, you know, jelly, stuff like that. And conventional wisdom said, according to his book, that the more choices consumers have, the more likely they are to buy, because it's easier for them to find the one that perfectly fits their needs. But they actually found that the opposite was true. 30% of the people who stopped by the booth when they only had six choices ended up buying, while only 3% who stopped by the booth when they had 24 choices ended up buying. And when they thought about why that is, it was because some things are snap decisions. You say, you know, instinctively a person knows, I want that one. But on the other hand, if you give someone too many choices, if they're forced to consider much more than their unconscious mind is comfortable with for the moment, then they're simply going to get paralyzed. And I think that's what happens with many of you when you're giving out far too many tools to an initial prospect. They're not responding to you. They're not answering your calls when you go to follow up. They're not responding when you try to get your material back. And I think it's because you've just overwhelmed them and you've paralyzed them. And so I really want you to take some time and think about what process you're using. Are you engaging in conversations with people, or are you simply passing out the tools expecting them to build a relationship with an individual when the reality is that tools don't build relationships, only people do? But when I was thinking about why some of you are really relying too much on the tools, I started to realize that one of the main reasons for the over-reliance, it gets back to a simple lack of confidence. We can think that we're working the business simply because we're processing and passing out information all the time, but the reality is we're not confident enough to speak to people, to have conversations and listen to what they're saying, and then build upon what they're saying in terms of how relevant that is to what we have to offer. And I think that sometimes that lack of confidence is more based on your personal circumstances for the moment and not really on a lack of competence or capability. I don't think that's it at all, because you know what to do and you know how to do it, most of you. I think that you don't do it for a couple of reasons. One is you don't have confidence anymore because you've been in this business for a long time and according to you, you haven't made it. The other is that you're having financial challenges right now. I mean, some of you are broke. Lots of people in this world are broken. Therefore, lots of people in this business may be broke who are just starting out. You can't afford to go to all the trainings. You know that you ought to ask someone to go to international convention in August, but you can't invite them if you're not going, and you don't know if you're going because you're having financial challenges. You don't have enough money. And then the third piece is that everyone you know knows these first two things about you. They know you've been in this business a long time and you haven't made it, or they know that you're having financial challenges. And, you know, each of the reasons for these problems is, it's all applicable. But I think if you've been in the business for a while and you haven't made it, according to your definition, then I still think that it's a belief issue, because just because you haven't made it doesn't mean that you won't make it. And just because you're broke doesn't mean that you can't do this business. But if you believe that's the case, then for you, it is going to be the case. Now, do these circumstances make it harder? Absolutely. I'm not saying that if you've been around for a while and you haven't achieved your goals, it's going to be easy, or that if you don't have any extra dollars right now, or if you don't have enough dollars to take care of your basic necessities, that it's going to be easy. It's definitely going to be harder. But I don't think that that makes it impossible, and that's the difference. And I think for those of you who are in one of these situations, and right now, unfortunately, many people are, I think it's important to focus. And if you focus on the first one, that you've been in this business a long time and you haven't made it, I really want you to think about and redefine what made it means to you. For some of you, you know, made it means $300 a month or $300 a week. For others, it means $3,000. For others, it means $30,000. So get clear on what making it means. And then second, define what does been in this business for a while really mean. When we started this call tonight, we were listening to Bruce talk about a new person who's been in the funnel for a while, and now he's going to be bringing him in as a business associate on Monday. Well, that person has been involved in the process with Bruce and is now going to be a business associate. So if you're saying to yourself that you've been in this business for a while and you haven't made it, I want you to consider how long have you consistently done the result-producing activities that are necessary. You know, the new person that Bruce is bringing in is a person who is right now doing the things that are in the Getting Started Action Guide. So as long as they keep doing that, they can say that they're in the business. But on the other hand, if some of you have been in the business for 6 months or a year or 2 years or 6 years or 10 years, and you haven't consistently done the activities in the Getting Started Action Guide, or you don't even know what I'm talking about when I mention the Getting Started Action Guide, or you don't have a new one, and the last one you saw was when you came in the business 2, 4, 5 years ago, then you really haven't been in the business. If you've only done it consistently for 30 days or 60 days or 90 days or never, then I don't think that it's fair for you to say that you've been in the business a long time and you haven't made it. Because if you haven't been consistent and persistent with the appropriate result-producing activities, then you really haven't worked the business. And so you need to give yourself a break and just decide that you're either going to begin to do that or you're not. Either choice is yours, and either choice can be correct. But believing that you haven't made it when you haven't done what it takes really just sets you up to fail. Because when we have those ideas about ourselves, I think that you actually make yourself feel less. And then when you do that, you don't really approach other people on equal footing. You know, you're really not as comfortable in terms of your posture as you would otherwise be. So it's like, you know, if we're going to say to someone that we're having a conversation with and they do express some interest, sometimes I'll say, if I could show you a way to make the additional income you're looking for, or if I could help you find the physical relief you're looking for, if I'm going to say that, that means that I have to be willing to follow through. And that can be hard to do if you don't really believe that you can do it. And so sometimes we're not saying anything because we know in our hearts that we're not going to follow through. So it isn't that we're not meeting the appropriate type of prospects while we're out there. It's that we're not following through on having a conversation with them because we know that we're not at a place in our lives where we will really do the follow-up steps that are necessary if we're going to achieve success for us or even put that person in a position to achieve success with this business. But I think that one of the keys to changing your perspective and your actions is really to accept first the reality of your current level of commitment to your business. You know, that's the hard part, is to say, on top of the fact that I've been in the business for a long time and haven't made it, to say to yourself that I haven't made it because I have not consistently done the result-producing activities that are in the Getting Started Action Guide and the other training material that I have available for a variety of reasons, and at this point, none of those reasons really matter because it's all done. All that matters now is what are you going to do from this point on. You know, to other people, but most importantly to yourself, you almost have to consider saying, you know, I've been associated with this business for a while. I've had some success creating a small part-time income, but now I've decided to focus on fully implementing the system and developing at least 2 internet sales and distribution organizations. And I really expect my income to increase significantly in the next 18 months. But see, to say that means that you're going to claim it. And if you're going to claim it, then that means that you have to engage in all of the daily activities necessary to get there. And sometimes we don't want to do that because if we speak that out loud, then we're going to be accountable to ourselves in a way that we haven't been previously. So really, before you can say that to yourself or to anyone else, you really need to spend some time reviewing the Getting Started Action Guide and the Career Manual and decide whether you really understand what fully implementing the system means. Okay. Now, once you get clear on that, if you are willing to re-engage, if you will, then it's going to be okay to have conversations with other people, and that's when you can go back to the primary, I think, best approach for prospecting and recruiting is I'm looking for people who are ready to make a change. But if you say that, you have to mean it. And one of the best ways to be able to say I'm looking for people who are ready to make a change is to demonstrate that you are a person working towards a change. And the only way you can be working towards a change is to be doing the activities that mean you're implementing the system. And that's not always easy to do, particularly if you've got other challenges going on in your life. So even when you get to the place, I think, where you can accept the reality of what you have or you haven't done with your business, you forgive yourself and you decide you're going to move on, you know, you might still have some real challenges if the second area, the financial difficulty, is also part of your current reality. See, it's not just that you've been in the business and you haven't made it. We can get beyond that if you recommit. But the second area of having not enough money to do what you need to do, that's still there for you. And that can be very troubling. And clearly there is a dollar cost associated with doing this business. And when you bring someone in to business with you, you know, they need to know the cost along with the requirements, and they need to be able to afford those costs. And when you're talking with someone, it's really important to share with them that there are dollar costs, because I don't know of any business that doesn't have costs associated with it. I have tremendous costs associated with my law office, whether or not I have one single client. And when you look at this business, clearly the costs include the distributorship, the $99.95. The unfranchised management system is in there. Product costs are in there, but not just product costs. Shipping and handling is in there. Tax is in there. The administrative fee is in there if they don't have a sales tax license. Supplies are in there. Your brochures, getting the flip chart. Your voicemail is in there. E-commerce is in there. Your transfer buy is in there. Your standard transfer buy, as well as your incentive business volume, is in there. Cost of attending trainings is in there. Second looks, even if it costs $5, someone says, oh, well, it's only $5. Well, $5 is a lot of money if you don't have any money. So we need to factor in all of this and have a clear understanding of what the costs associated with doing this business are. And I'm not saying that you run a two-year forecast for a new person on what the expenses are, but I am saying that you clearly delineate what the startup costs are, which is why you need to be saying to people $500 to $1,500 to begin your business, instead of saying, well, it only costs $300 to come in, because that's just really not true. It's not just setting them up for failure, you're setting yourself up for failure also, because you're not operating from a position of integrity, and you're going to have to go back to this person when it's time to spend money on an additional part of the business. So for new people, I think it's much easier for most of us now to just share the requirements and share the dollar cost up front. But what about those of us who are already working the business, who've been around for a while, and who currently, for a variety of reasons, don't have the money that's needed to do everything that's necessary for building this business? But then I think that it's real important to take some time and, you know, make a list. You need to make a list and prioritize things according to your own individual circumstances. And even though everything might be important to your ultimate success, everything isn't absolutely necessary at the same time. And that's the piece that you really have to focus on if you're having some financial challenges, particularly now as we're trying to get ready to have the funds necessary to go to convention in August in Greensboro. You know, some of you don't have your voicemail, and some of you do, but some of you don't. If that's a challenge for you financially and you're paying it, but you really can't afford it, then maybe you don't have it for a brief while. Maybe you make sure that one of your business associates, someone that you're close to, will share the information with you. If you aren't able to pay for it, I don't want you to not have access to the information. I understand that there are some people who think, well, if they're not paying for their voicemail, I'm not going to give them the information because they need to sign up. I think we need to get serious, and we need to be aware that people have financial difficulties at time, and this is about all of us succeeding, not playing hide the ball. I have money for voicemail, therefore I have this information and you don't. That doesn't speak to community very well to me at all. So if you know that you can't afford your voicemail right now, don't keep agonizing over it. That's on your list of things that you want to get back to doing or you want to begin to do. Meantime, you need to contact someone else in your local area or someone on the forum, someone who can share the information with you, because you need to have access to that information. As I mentioned earlier, you need to know that the new home shopping list is available, because that can make a big difference in your business growth. But if you didn't have voicemail, then you wouldn't necessarily know that, because it came out on voicemail. In the area of what else is on your list, you have your transfer buy, you have your unfranchised management system. Those are critical. I can't see any way around those in terms of you deciding to put those off for later, because those are critical for accrual in order for you to get paid. When you're making the list, I think what will be near the top of it, if your financial circumstances are challenging, is emphasizing your retail. Because your retail profit is the critical component, I think, for helping you deal with the financial issues. Now, I know sometimes people think, well, I can't have retail profit because I can't afford to buy brochures and I can't afford to send information to customers and I can't afford to buy the product. I think that we need to flip the switch on that one as well. There are ways for you to get retail profit without spending a great deal of money. One of the first ways is to go in again with a business associate, with someone else, and get a packet of the mall talks. You don't necessarily have to have brochures for every product once you have the mall talks. Just supplement the mall talk with the brochures for products that have come out since the mall talk was issued and last updated. So get the mall talks with someone else. Get the home shopping list. That will open many doors in terms of people wanting to purchase your product. Use the web portal. That's already there. It's already set up. You're not paying any extra costs for that. And on your web portal, make good use of the Nutriphysical. Again, some of you have yet to take the Nutriphysical yourself, and that's a belief issue. If you haven't taken the Nutriphysical, I know that you're not going to ask someone else to take the Nutriphysical, which means that you're not going to have the opportunity to get people to order multiple nutritional supplements from you. So you really need to, on your list, you want to increase your retail. Let's look at doing it in a cost-effective manner as possible. That's the web portal, using the Nutriphysical. That's the home shopping list, because it's very inexpensive. That's using the mall talk. And when I say use the mall talk, I'm not talking about just handing them out never to see them again. I'm talking about circulating the mall talks. Like you pass it around to a group of people at work, or you have some people in your home and you pass it around and people make orders. Because again, I don't want you losing your mall talks, because right now the finances are a challenge for you. But when you circulate these things, then I want you to get into the habit of understanding that it is perfectly okay to collect money from people when you take their order. When we go into stores to buy something, we pay for it when we get it. But a lot of times we order things online, we pay, and then it comes in the mail. I know I do that all the time. So it's quite okay to collect money from people when you take their order. And that way you can then order the product, and at that time you can order a brochure. Because I do want you giving people a brochure with each new product purchase, but I don't want you indiscriminately passing out brochures when you can more cost-effectively use the mall talk. Okay? The other piece on your list, I said earlier that the transfer buy is critical. That one's not negotiable. But I want you, if money is an issue for you right now, to match what's on your transfer buy to your current and repeat retail customers. Okay, that way you will at least know that what's coming in on your transfer buy, you have customers ready to pay for that. You can do that until your finances improve, and then you can go back to putting your personal use items on your transfer buy as well. And remember, transfer buy is not limited to 150. That's your requirement at that certain level, but it is not all that you can ever order. Now, when you're doing this, what's really important, if we're going to use this money to take care of the financial challenges and be as cost-effective as possible, is that you separate the product cost from the profit. It's so important that when you're telling someone what the product costs, you include the tax, and you include, if that's applicable for your area, and you include the shipping and handling. Sometimes some of you will sell your product, and you'll say $64, and you won't include the 7.5% shipping and handling, and then the person just gives you just what you said, and it's really embarrassing to go back to a person later and say, well, I actually needed more money. So when you're making this list and deciding who you're going to be circulating your mall talks to and who you're going to circulate your home shopping list to and invite to use your web portal, make sure that you're really using the full retail cost that you need to recover. Because I want you to be able to have the profit cushion to use for your life expenses, your debts, attending training, all the things that are on your list of challenges. Because we're really talking about two lists here. I want you to make the one list that is prioritizing what you need to do in terms of your business, like your voicemail, your transfer buy, purchasing mall talks, purchasing brochures. The second list is the list of what's creating the financial challenges for you. that's the list of what it costs you to live each month. That's your utilities. That's your cable. Some people have to have cable in order to be able to watch TV at all. That's the way it is here where I'm living, but I don't have to have the $200 digital cable package, but I have to have the $60 basic cable to get any sort of television. So you're going to list all those things that you your monthly required living expenses, and that's separate from that list of your monthly required business expenses. On the list with your monthlies, that's where you're also going to put the debt that you have, other obligations that you have, and you have to prioritize how you're going to repay them. You don't have to use major mathematical equations to get there. Just list everything that you owe, and as you're going to make payments on them, generally it's best to pay those things off first that have the highest interest rates. It's generally best to avoid making minimum payments because it'll take you forever. But if that's all you have right now, then make the minimum payments. Don't agonize over the fact that I should be making more and I can't right now. Just keep building the retail profit margin so that you can double up on those payments. It's hard, I know, to list all your financial obligations, especially when you know that you can't meet them. But doing so, I think, is critical in order for you to develop a plan to reduce and eliminate the debt. And developing a sound financial plan, I think, is critical in order to get to the place where you have the confidence needed to step out on faith and talk with people about what you have to offer despite your current personal circumstances. If you have no idea how to make the list of all of your bills, you know, send me an email. But there's a really good website, bankrate.com. They have debt eliminator calculators on there, and you can go there and type in your information, and it gives you a pretty good schedule of how you can deal with these things. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but I think that for some of you, your belief levels are getting low and your confidence is sinking. And I think until you get everything on paper in front of you and see that it's very possible to work your way out of this, you're not going to be able to move forward with your business. And I really want you to do this if you have to rely on your retail profits to help you, because if you don't write these things down, then you're going to have the profit is mine syndrome. And when you sell product, you put all that money in your pocket and you think that it's all your money, but it really isn't your money. You're kind of just holding on to it. Some of it you're holding on to because of your life expenses. Some you're holding on to because of your debt. Some you're holding on to because it needs to go back into your business in terms of new mall talks and in terms of attending your necessary training so that you know the things you need to know to successfully build your business. I think that sometimes we've forgotten that there are many people in this business who were able to work it when they had very limited resources. But it's not a question that these people were luckier than us. These people worked this business because they saw the business as their best and in some cases as their last option for financial success. And that's what's really challenging, because if you're struggling financially, I know that it's hard to go out and talk with people about this business, but it gets easier depending on how you see the business. If you see this business as just another expense, then you're going to continue to have problems. If you see this business as a possible solution, then you're going to be able to rise to the challenge and go out and talk with people about what you have, understanding that you're not misrepresenting. You're talking about the possibilities. And if you don't see it as a possible solution, I think that you're just going to continue to resent the money that it costs and the time that it costs, and you simply won't have the posture necessary to communicate the possibilities to other people. And when you think about whether or not you're faced with both of these issues we're talking about in terms of why you may be over-relying on using tools and not having the confidence necessary to have conversations with people and talk with people about what you're doing, or whether yours is just a case of I've been in this business a long time and I haven't made it, and I know that's because I haven't been consistent, and now I'm going to commit to making a change and I'm going to be consistent. Whichever area you're in, I think that there are some specific steps that aren't tool-specific that you can take to develop the confidence that you need to avoid these challenges, the over-reliance on the tools and the lack of confidence in building relationships. And it really gets to the foundational piece of networking and socializing, if you will, with other people in ways that some of us are still reluctant to do. I was reading this article that was put out by this, I think he's a lawyer, his last name is Meister, and he's talking about networking, and most of what he's talking about is in the context for attorneys, but a lot of it is the same information that George Frazier has in his book, Success Runs in Our Race. It's a really good book you ought to read on networking issues in general, and I think it speaks to what some of us don't do, and therefore we don't have the confidence, and this is why we rely on just using tools instead of our personal attributes. We have to, first of all, accept that networking is critical. I mean, there's no way around it. If you're going to be successful in a direct sales business, you simply have to network with other people. I think if you're going to be successful in life, for-profit or not-for-profit, you have to network with other people because networking is critical to your own personal development. Meeting with other people, professionals, people in similar walks of life, and it broadens your perspective, and most importantly, it gives you insight into what issues are of interest to other people. And remember, we're in the solutions providing business, so we need to know what problems other people are having. I know that sometimes we'll just join various networking groups, and some of you heard our conversation at the beginning of this call about some of the various networking groups that are out there. I don't think that it's a good idea to join them just to see what's in it for you, just to make new business contacts. I think that some of you have done that in the past, and for some of you it's been successful, but I think it's been successful for those of you who have made a commitment to truly be a part of that organization, and it hasn't been successful for those of you who are just joining it to see what you can get out of it. Because I think ultimately, if you don't believe in an organization, just the same as with this business, you're most likely going to fail to do something that you need to be doing and just be one more, as this guy says, uninvolved, apathetic member. And for us, based on the fact that we need to operate truly from a position of integrity, people are going to see through that, and they're going to know that you're just there to see what you can get, and that's most likely going to damage your reputation. And for us, the reputation is everything. That's all you have. So I think if you're going to reengage and you're going to try to overcome the lack of confidence that you may be feeling, you have to understand that you've got to make some time for networking with other people. And sometimes that's just socializing. It's not always going to lead to a sale. It's definitely not always going to lead to a business associate. And for some of you, you think that's wasted time. But it really isn't wasted time. It's good for you because you're getting practice at just having conversations with people and relaxing. And it's good for other people because you potentially have the opportunity to help them change their world, and you can't get there if you don't relax enough to just have conversations with other people. And when you are networking with other people, even the people who are already in your world who know that you've been in this business for a long time and you haven't made it, it's still okay to ask those people for referrals. Remember, because you're going back to saying that now I'm going to focus on fully implementing this system and I expect a significant change in the development of my organization and in my income. And I really need you to think about other people you know who are also interested in making a significant change in their financial situation. So don't be afraid to ask people for referrals. You'll really be surprised at how often people might not generally think of referring others to you, and they may assume that you don't want referrals. You see, remember we were talking some time ago about the facade of affluence where we look like we have everything all together? Some people think that we don't need referrals because they think our business is doing so great we don't need anything. And then, unfortunately, some of us don't ask for referrals because we think that might mean that we're struggling and we're looking for other customers or potential business associates. Well, we are. It doesn't mean we're struggling. It just means we want to expand the possibilities. So it's real important when you're socializing with other people, keep your ears open and ask for referrals when that's appropriate. The other piece I think some of us are struggling with in terms of specific steps is what some networkers call the elevator speech, and generally we call the two-minute commercial. I think some of us spend so much time trying to figure out what to say that we wind up saying nothing. And generally when you're talking with someone, you don't have 2 full minutes anyway. You really have about 30 to 60 seconds. That's why most people now call it an elevator speech. When you're thinking about what you're going to say to people, understand that all you want to do is get their attention. You want to say a lot, but you want to use a few words. It's not a direct sales pitch. If you're in an elevator with me, and we're going from floor number one to floor number six, you're not going to have time for a two-minute commercial, and you're not going to have time to slip out of mall talk and show all this to me. You're not really wanting to get caught up in telling the person how great what you have to offer. You just want to describe what you do and show some passion. Because, again, it's a very brief blink of an eye that you have with this other person. You're really marketing yourself so that people will want to know more about you. Okay, that's the goal. So if I'm in the elevator with someone and I decide to speak, I'm just going to say what I usually say. I have an internet sales and distribution business, and I help people achieve their financial goals. That's it. I'm not going to go into everything else because I don't have the time. And if you start going into it and you can't finish it, that's almost worse than not saying anything at all. When it's appropriate, I might ask someone for a business card, depending on their response, if they would like to learn some more. And then I'm just going to flip it right back to, you know, what is it that you do? You can get that done in a few seconds. 30 to 60 seconds max is what that's going to take you. And so some of us, we're not feeling good about what we're doing, and therefore our confidence is lagging because we only have 1 2-minute commercial. We need to take that 2-minute commercial and break it down. Break it down into 30 seconds, then 60 seconds, then 90 seconds. Get comfortable with it so you have something to share no matter the external circumstances. But most importantly, you have to just be yourself. Be conversational. Be friendly. Be open to people. Smile. If you're having a bad day, like sometimes I'm having a bad day, don't go out and talk to people. If you're in an elevator and you're having a bad day, just keep your mouth shut. When I'm in an elevator and I'm not having a good day, I just look at my watch, or sometimes I'll pull out my palm violet and just sort of look like I'm checking a calendar event, which I am, because I know that I'm not in a mood to be open and friendly like I need to be if I'm going to share what I have to offer with someone. And the thing about this relationship piece, and I think this is the reason we're spending so much time with the tools, is because this is hard work. Relationships mean you're making a commitment. You're actually setting yourself up for an obligation if the person in the elevator or elsewhere says, yes, I am interested and I'd like to get some more information, then what in the world are you going to do? You have to be willing to follow through. And relationships mean that you have to focus. You simply can't chase every opportunity. You have to have patience and you have to know how to trust other people. And even though I think sometimes we get confused because we know that direct sales and network marketing requires numbers, I think we forget that these numbers are based on relationship building. And growing relationships, like I said, it doesn't just require commitment. It's also personal. You actually have to be interested in other people. You have to listen to what they say. You have to care about them, and you have to pay attention to their moods and their needs. And sometimes I know we just plain don't want to. Okay, so we'll pass out the tools. But I think you're just wasting your time, and most importantly, you're devaluing the other person's time as well because you're not really operating from a position of integrity. You know that the tools do not build the business. People build the business. Relationships build the business. And you need to put the relationships first, even if you're in the midst of financial difficulties, even if you've been in this business for a while. If you're going to have any opportunity to turn things around, it's only going to be turned around because you're operating from a position of integrity and valuing the relationships that you build with people. There's another book out. I haven't finished reading it yet. It's called Trust-Based Selling. It's by this guy named Charles Green. It's not really direct sales or network marketing specific, but the basic concept is the same. If your business isn't working the way you want, you have to trust yourself to make the necessary decisions to change your reality. And people buy from most people because they trust you. Back to them, they know you, they like you, and they trust you. We really do have to get there. And we can get there even if we've been struggling for years with our business. Much of that struggle, if it's gone on, I think, more than 6 months, you need to talk to somebody else about it because maybe someone can see something that you're doing that needs to be redirected or fine-tuned. Because I don't think it makes good sense for you to struggle for an extended period of time and think that you're being consistent and persistent, yet you're not getting the results. If you aren't getting the results in 90 to 120 days, then you need to talk with someone else about it because it could be something that you're struggling with that can be easily addressed. And yet if you don't share that information with one of us, then your financial challenges are going to continue, your lack of confidence because you've been in the business for a long time and haven't made it is going to continue. And you're going to then believe that I'm passing these tools out, the tools don't work, therefore the business doesn't work, therefore I have no opportunity to achieve the success that I wanted to achieve with this vehicle, and none of that is true. Okay, it may all be relevant to your particular world, but that doesn't necessarily make it true. And I think it's just important for you to understand that whether you build genuine relationships or rely on the tools, you won't have the level of success you want. You just won't until you understand and accept how important it is to honor yourself and to honor other people while you're going through this process. And that also means honor the reality of where you are. If you're struggling, accept that. See how you can continue to work your business around that until that situation resolves. Make the changes that you need to make. Share the information with someone else and see who else is available to help you. And then decide that you're really going to focus in a way that maybe you've not focused before in order to get to the level of success you want as quickly as you can get there. And I think if you're working this business with or without the right financial foundation, whether or not you have challenge, it really does require an amazing ability and a willingness to focus. Just like we need to listen to other people to determine their interest and willingness in this area of implementing this system fully, you have got to focus. You have to commit to focusing. I was reading one of Harvey McKay's articles, and he was referencing Peter Drucker, the management consultant and author. I think he's been deceased for some time. But he used to say, when you have 186 objectives, nothing gets done. What is the one thing you want to do? Decide what's most important. Make a list every day, every week, and prioritize your activities. You see, we say this all the time. We say at your to-do list, work from your master action plan to your daily action plan to your daily to-do list. We say that, yet we let 50 other things get in the way, and sometimes those things that are getting in the way are life things, like I'm worrying about my bills, I'm worrying about this issue. Put those issues on paper and decide that if you devote that same amount of time or greater to building the business, you can help to resolve those issues. But until you identify all of those stumbling blocks that are causing you to not focus and make the commitment to recommit, then I don't think you're going to be able to have the level of success that you really want to have with this business. I just think that you're going to make things much more challenging for yourself than they need to be. So, you know, is it going to be easy to work through the confidence issues of having been in the business for a while and not making it, or having the financial challenges? No. But is it possible? I think it's more than possible. And I think that the sooner you get real about that piece, the sooner all of us begin to focus on the real requirements for having success, we'll understand the importance and the appropriate place for using all the tools. Because what's happening is that many of us are letting the tools be the reason, absolutely, that we're not succeeding, and then we're not having to be accountable because it's not our fault, it's the tools that aren't working. It really is about us not streamlining, focusing, and committing to doing the things that we really need to do if we're going to have the level of success we say we want to have.